It's On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. When Donald Trump addressed the tragic events in Charlottesville, Virginia, he said there was bad behavior on both sides.
I've condemned neo-Nazis. I've condemned many different groups, but not all of those people were neo-Nazis, believe me. Not all of those people were white supremacists. I think there's blame on both sides. You look at both sides, I think there's blame on both sides, and I have no doubt about it.
Many people accuse the president of false equivalence. That phrase has come up a lot in the past couple years, whether we're talking about Nazis or Benghazi or emails or Black Lives Matter. False equivalence is a phrase used all the time, but not fully understood by many people. And so, it's time to break it down. What if I were to say that a sushi knife and a razor are equally sharp and so equally good at shaving your beard?
These are my clippers. I call it Excalibeard.
That's a false equivalence, and if you make that error in logic, you're apt to end up with a bloody face.
Look who got bait with the ugly stick!
False equivalence is a logical fallacy.
Liar, liar, plants for hire.
It's pants on fire, Patrick.
Well, you would know, liar.
There are easily more than 130 recognized fallacies, but this one is among the most common. Here's how it works. Say you have two items, a pencil and a desk. The pencil is wooden and small. The desk is wooden and large. A false equivalence would treat both items the same because they're both wooden.
I respect all wood. I respect pine. I respect walnut. I respect oak. Doesn't matter.
They have one characteristic in common, so you act as though there's no difference. But there's no room on your pencil for a laptop, and the desk is too heavy to stick behind your ear. It's like saying a greyhound and a dachshund have an equal chance to win a race because they're both hounds. Or grass and avocados are equally delicious. They're both green, after all.
Mr. Yuck is mean. Mr. Yuck is green.
Your neighbor who spilled oil in his driveway is not the same as the Deepwater Horizon spill in the Gulf of Mexico. Yes, toxic substances were spilled in both cases, but one is minor, while the other is the largest marine oil spill in the history of the petroleum industry. Not the same. Be careful not to mistake false equivalence for false balance. In false equivalence, you treat two different things equally just because they share one common characteristic. False balance refers to journalism's mistaken practice of presenting every issue as though it has two equal sides, like a scientist speaking on climate change versus a denier who just doesn't think it's real.
The idea that CO2 is the tail that wags the dogs is not supportable.
That's false balance. Then there is the specific kind of false equivalence called moral equivalence. In Charlottesville, you had one group of protesters expressing racial hatred and white supremacy versus another group of protesters chanting their opposition to hatred and fascism. Both groups are not the same just because they're both protesting. A soldier who killed enemies during wartime is not the same as a serial killer. They have killing in common, but the rest is quite different, especially what each may be fighting for. False equivalence can also be called false comparison. It's comparing oranges to apples because they're both fruit. But let's bring in an actual expert. Ed Lee is the executive director of the Barclay Forum for Debate, Deliberation, and Dialogue at Emory University. Hello there.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Did get everything basically correct?
Yes. It was a good introduction in the way in which we should understand these things. At the core of this issue really is an appeal to the notion of objectivity and that things are equal, they have credibility, all sides of a perspective needs to be equally weighted, and even from a sense of morality, we need to understand things of having an equal place, and that's a dangerous place to be.
So you said that this is an introduction to that concept. So let's get into chapter one. This idea that, that false equivalence comes as a result of a goal of objectivity, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Or the appearance of objectivity.
I think that in our community, in our society, there's a desire for us to have equal weighting, equal footing for perspectives.
Right. There are no stupid questions.
There's a sense of fairness about it, and a sense of attracting, and that this comes from a good place. Actually, as a debate coach, I am interested in an exploration of all sides. But in thinking about exploring the all sides, we don't want to give legitimacy and credibility to all perspectives as if there is equal. There is a sense of evil that exists in the world. There is a sense of truth that exists in the world, and this notion of a false equivalence or a moral equivalence sort of elides that notion that there is a difference that exists.
I would say, I mean, as a journalist, I will lay some of the blame at my own industry's feet, which is that journalism's abdication of responsibility in deciding truth. In other words, we don't want to say what's right or what's wrong, so we're just going to bring in two sides to argue it out. Has that false balance that journalism has practiced for the past 20 years, has that led to this sort of rise in false equivalence?
Well, I think that they are informed in some ways by that, and that I think that you're right, that journalism has created a notion that if we have a consensus on climate science where most 97% of the published scientists believes that there is climate change, that it is informed by humans, and that if we bring in one scientist who says that, we need to bring in one denier that says that, that assumes that, well, now there's a 50-50 split within the scientific community on this particular issue. That's wrong. And for the community, for people who are not involved in that particular research, who are listening to the information, they believe that there's an actual debate occurring around climate change where there's really not much of a debate on whether or not it is occurring and whether or not humans are inducing it. There's a debate on whether or not the consequences and what will happen because of it. The same thing is occurring in terms of Charlottesville and the notion of white supremacy. By having this false equivalence take place, we could introduce into our communities a notion that there's an actual debate about the legitimacy of white supremacy as a mode of engagement and an ideology that people should accept.
And that's what makes it dangerous. Not kind of dangerous, but that's what makes it dangerous, period. I want to give you an example of a note that a listener sent me. But first, let me just let people know, if you're just joining us, we're talking about false equivalence, what it is and the effects that it has. My guest is Ed Lee. He is the executive director of the Barclay Forum for Debate, Deliberation, and Dialogue at Emory University. Three words I very much like. So I got this note. I had posted, because we're having this public discussion about Confederate monuments, I had posted a couple articles discussing the Confederacy, and a listener sent me a note saying, every time that you talk about slavery or the Confederacy, you need to also bring up child labor in the North. And I thought to myself, well, this is kind of fortuitous because that's, to me, an example of false equivalence. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, and there's one of the ways in which we should also think about this is what's the motive and purpose of doing that? One goal that we can have in introducing that there are other evils, other harms that took place during that period of time is to, one, ignore the unique differences that did take place between potentially child labor in the North and the odious forms of segregation, dehumanization that was a part of an institution of slavery that was a part of maintaining an economy and destroying various people and various communities as a part of that process. The other thing that it does is that it sends some signals that we may not be able to do anything about any of these injustices because there are so many, and that we should ignore how we could act to address one because we are unable to address the other. One of the ways of thinking about this is sort of the notion of working a referee doing a sports game, that if we can't call fouls on everybody or locate the fouls on everyone, then we shouldn't call fouls on anyone, that everyone is objectionable in this particular thing. And so we should just let it play out. and that we should let the market or let all individuals decide. But when we do that, there are levers of power that are being worked in one particular direction to support some particular types of systems that will continue to do so.
Well, I mean, parents see this all the time. Kids are always trying to get out of trouble by saying that their sibling did something worse, right, the
yes.
other day. But I want to talk again about some of the effects of what happens when you use false equivalence. And I wonder if what it basically does is undermine everybody. In other words, false equivalence sort of takes away everybody's position to criticize or point out fault in a way. Right?
Well, yes. Here's a way to think about it, particularly in the context of the events in Charlottesville, that we have developed what is almost a near universal norm in our society against white supremacy, that neo-Nazis, the KKK, has really been relegated to the hinterlands of politics at this particular juncture.
Right.
That if we create an environment, if we want to undermine that norm, the only thing that we have to do is really undermine a sense of a shared purpose for us to continue to relegate them there and to undermine a common sense of identification of people in this country, that one of the things that we have in common is that we do not see white power, white control as something that is an ideology that is equal to an ideology of preserving a notion of equal rights. A sense of equivalence between those two, white power, white control, and a pursuit of equal justice, equal rights, undermines that particular norm, and it tends to bring the ideology that we once found to be harmful and injurious and something that we do not see as being American closer to being something that is normalized and legitimized in our society. And that's the part that's dangerous about it.
And some of the ways in which this happens is just through naming things. And by that, I mean white supremacists have chosen, it was Richard Spencer, a neo-Nazi, who chose the word alt-right.
Yes.
And now people are calling anti-fascists alt-left. So in a way, even by using names, we are creating a false equivalence, right?
Yes, there's extreme power in communication and the words that we use. Language matters. That the first way in which we come to identify.
Of course you'd say that. You're a debate teacher.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You're biased.
Yes.
You're biased
and we are. And in reality is that we're all biased, understanding that bias just means sort of partial and that we all are. But one of the ways in which we come to construct and identify particular collections of people is by labeling them, by understanding that linguistical choices really impart a particular notion of morality, good and evil. Things aren't inherently good or bad. They come to be such based upon the way in which we come to speak to them and understand them. And so when we say there is now this notion of an alt-left that exists in comparison to and also equal to the alt-right, it indicates that we should come to understand the alt-left as having an objective that is just as harmful as the way in which we have come to see the objective of the alt-right. And so that language choice that was chosen by Richard Spencer and then legitimized by President Trump tends to say that the choices that are made by those who are attempting to resist fascism, resist segregation, resist white supremacy, that we should be just as concerned about it as one would hope we are about a collection of people who are interested in reinscribing some systems of control, dominance, and an attempt to roll back opportunities of opportunities for equality and justice in this society.
And just so listeners can understand how off that equivalence is, 75% over the past, I think it's 10 to 15 years, of the 75% of all homicides that were motivated by political ideology were carried out by someone from the so-called alt-right, a right-wing person, and less than 2% were carried out by someone on the left. There's not really a statistical equivalence between the two. Yet we're making a false equivalence between the two sides, probably for political reasons. We only have about a minute and a half left, but how do I, as a news-consuming public, recognize false equivalence when it's being used?
Well, one of the things that I would encourage us to do is to be skeptical about any of these comparisons when they are made, and to strive to understand the nuances that are there, that there is real difficulties that exist here, because what we have to do is to inoculate people in beforehand against false equivalence and other forms of argumentative fallacy, because misinformation is ultimately resistant to corrections. That when there's misinformation that is presented and it conforms or confirms our understanding of the world, we tend to take that in and accept it as our truth. So what we have to do is build within the media and within education inoculation strategies that teach people how to identify, here's a sense of false equivalence, here's why it's dangerous, and here's how we are to understand how to explore the truth and have more nuanced perspectives. So I appreciate you inviting me on and having this conversation, because I think that this is part of the way in which we get people to think in some more nuanced and skeptical ways about the information we're consuming.
And since we're talking about false equivalence, and because the comparison to Hitler is made about so many people, I might bring up Godwin's rule of Hitler analogies, which is actually asserts that an online discussion gets longer and longer, the probability of a comparison involving Hitler approaches one. Comparisons to Hitler, always false equivalence. Thank you very much to Ed Lee. He is the executive director of the Barclay Forum for Debate, Deliberation, and Dialogue at Emory University. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And that's it for today's show, but we would love to hear from you. Give us an example of false equivalence, or frankly, any other logical fallacy that you've heard and bothers you. Call us at 404-500-9457. Godwin's Law, that's one of mine, Hitler comparisons. But let me know yours. You can find us on social media. For today, that's On Second Thought from GPB News. I'm Celeste Headley. Have a great day.